Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody on this Victory Monday.
Yes, how are you doing today, Cody? Dude, I'm fantastic. A little frustrated, a little stressed. It's a Victory Monday, but it was a stressful victory. I don't even know. Yeah, let's wave. Sorry, if you can't see on YouTube right now, we're waving the terrible towels right now. I got my black Both one. You have your, is that the Myron Cope one?
This is the explanation of the terrible towel right here. How it is not a jinx or a curse on your enemy.
Oh.
But you better not disrespect that crap either.
Yeah, not at all. But I'm doing okay. I don't know. I'm feeling some type of way about the win, even though it was a win. I'm also feeling some type of way about the offensive play calling. So
that's fair.
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out for sure. But we'll talk about that in a minute. James, how are you? It is a Victory Monday. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was happy to talk to people all over today, talking about how stressed we are, how many of us had heart attacks and went to the hospital from the game. But in the end, you know, hey, we got a W, and a lot of people didn't expect it. I didn't even necessarily expect it, to be honest, because the Bengals are supposed to be this juggernaut, you know. And as we kind of alluded to you guys, we thought that the exaggeration of how good this Bengals offensive line is, that this is clearly a top 10 unit in the NFL, was greatly exaggerated. We poked holes in that offensive line all day long.
Yeah, we poked holes all day long. The NFL sack leader right now is a Pittsburgh Steeler not named Watt or Hayward. So that right there in and of itself is astonishing. And we did. I believe we had, what, 7 total sacks as a team?
7.
Joe Burrow has been sacked 24 times in the last 4 games. Poor guy. Poor offensive line.
Boy, you really feel bad for him.
Nope.
Nope, down at all.
But it was a little bit of a mess of a game. But okay, we want to talk football. We want to talk about this game so badly. Before we get there,
we're going into it.
Inactives for
inactives.
The game. Yes.
Inactives first. Yes. Steelers inactives for the game. Mason Rudolph, Kendrick Green. Just like we said, if you're only kind of okay, but mostly bad at one position and awful at the rest, or can't even play them, how are you going to get a helmet? You didn't get one. Steven Sims, Isaiah Loudermilk, and Mark Robinson. Robinson was the biggest surprise to me.
Yep.
I thought they might want to have him active and let him play a little bit on special teams, but he didn't get the helmet. There's enough injuries in this game. He'll probably get one next week. So,
yeah, I don't see him not getting a helmet next week. TJ Watt's going to be out for a minimum of a month. We'll get to that again later. There's no way Mark Robinson doesn't have a helmet next week. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah.
He'll definitely be playing on special teams, and I'm excited to see that for sure. But yeah, let's go ahead and go into this game right off the bat. First touchdown's pick 6 from the defense, from Minka. Phenomenal.
Minka was playing like a man possessed. He was talking about how he remembered how they were talking trash about how the Steelers gave up. And honestly, I felt like there was some truth to that. It looked like at the end of the game, they were just over it. It really wasn't going well. You know, Najee got his 15th or 16th pass thrown to him and just kind of batted it to the ground because he's sick of getting hit. This is last year we're talking about. So I think there was a little bit of validity to that some players did appear to have given up last year in those games. Didn't happen this year, man. And Minka was just playing his butt off, man.
15 tackles, too, I think. Game,
14.
14, yep. Whatever. Oh, my gosh.
And if he wasn't batting the ball down, he was cleaning somebody up, putting a shoulder to somebody's head, just crushing people all game long. Absolutely love the effort. But you're right. Like, he started the tone off right out of the gate. So just incredible to see Minka play that well from beginning of the game all the way to the end of the game. But that pick 6 really set the tone early. And it also worth noting, you know, Pittsburgh got the ball, and on third down, to me, it was very clear that they achieved the first down, but they didn't have a good camera angle. And since they called it, you know, short of the sticks in live play, they didn't reverse it. You know, Tomlin challenged it. Both angles on the actual play where he extended the ball forward, appeared to be very clearly a good half a yard or more past the line. Both of them were not right at the line, so you couldn't see that it was actually past it definitively, and they didn't change it because of it.
Yeah, and I just was looking up a stat real quick. I was just curious when the last time Pittsburgh had four interceptions in a game was. And it was actually not as far back as I thought it was. It was against the Jacksonville Jaguars 2 years ago in a 27-3 victory over that. But before that, 2017, and then before that, 1997, the last few times Pittsburgh's had four interceptions in a game. Incredible by the defense as a whole. And we're going a little bit out of order here. I just wanted to start with that because the offense, again, started very, very stagnant. I think up until late in the third, we were 0-for-4 on third down conversions. You're not going to win football games not converting. And I know that we're doing this a little bit differently. I'm just kind of bouncing around with my brain right now because I want to talk about the things that specifically frustrated me about the game. And the things that made me happy. The defense made me very happy, and the offense made me very mad. That basically sums it up right there. if it wasn't for defense, we wouldn't have been in this game anywhere near.
And some opposites of what we were used to, too, right? So from the preseason, I would say that the run blocking was not tremendous, but the pass blocking was bad at a lot of moments in the preseason. I felt like it was kind of flip-flopped. I felt like Trubisky had more time than he thought he was going to have, got jittery feet and made some throws that he shouldn't have made, probably because he thought he wasn't going to have as much time as he ended up having a lot of times. In my opinion, in the run game, they really didn't open up any holes at all.
Nope.
The only thing that really seemed to be working much at all was reverses and end arounds and stuff with Chase Claypool. None of that was extremely effective, but he was at least getting some decent yards. They were moving the sticks from time to time with it.
Yeah, you're talking about.
You even saw Derek Watt get used in this game, not as a ball carrier, not as a receiver, but as the lone running back in third down situations, because they figured, hey, at least he could probably pick up a blitz. And his ability to do so, I would say, is probably pretty decent, but. I would say the best blitz pickup I saw in the whole game was Jalen Warren. There was a blitz right up the middle, and he put the dude right on his butt. So nice to see that sort of thing from Jalen. He didn't get the opportunity to really blow up in the run game with 3 carries for 6 yards, I think, was his total on the day. Nothing significant there. But again, not much in the line of holes from the offense, right? They got to get more push. We got to see more double teams on defensive linemen to push them a little bit and create some holes. Maybe just some more tosses and sweeps to the outsides, maybe more counters. I don't know. They got to get more creative because the run game, like you said, was stagnant. And outside of a few chunk plays here and there on the offense, you didn't really see a lot. I was disappointed that they didn't go more to Chase Claypool and George Pickens down the field. It seemed like if it wasn't going to Deontay Johnson, it was a dump off. Or there was a couple nice plays to the tight ends. You know, Freiermuth had himself a real nice game. Had they thrown it to him a little more, maybe convert a little bit more. But
yeah. I mean, and while we're on the topic of tight ends, Jack Gentry had a phenomenal play downfield where he made a couple guys miss and
on the tight end screen.
Yeah. And I felt like I was watching Heath Miller again. Like, all these guys go so low for their legs. If you jump like 3 inches off the ground, you're getting over these guys.
Yeah.
But again, you're right. The running game wasn't there today, or yesterday, I should say. Excuse me. The running game was almost non-existent, minus Chase Claypool. Najee Harris had one 11-yard run, which was decent. But again, a 2.3 average on 10 carries for Najee's nothing to go home about, nothing to celebrate about. And then Mitch Trubisky had 3 scrambles for 9 yards total. Again, the passing game was where any amount of offense came from, and it wasn't much. When you talk about your starting quarterback throwing for 194 yards and only one touchdown, 194 yards almost looks wrong because I feel like a lot of that came in awkward times where they weren't really doing anything with it.
It's all from three dudes.
And it's literally, I mean, you have.
Look at that stat line. I mean, 75 yards from Freiermuth, 55 from Johnson, and 40 from Gentry.
Yep. And all of them long was 20, like each of them had a 25 yarder or longer. 25 was Deontay's long, 31 for Pat Freiermuth, 32 for Zach Gentry. Your second tight end has the longest reception of the day. There's a problem.
And it was on a tight end screen.
There's a problem with your offense if that's the way that's working. I guarantee you, if you look at every other team that won yesterday, if not, maybe not every, but they probably have a wide receiver that led their team with the longest reception, and it was probably thrown 15 to 20 yards downfield minimum. We just didn't do that. And again, that was one of my keys to success. I wanted us to utilize that middle ground, throwing it over the linebackers underneath the secondary, underneath the safeties. And I felt like we didn't even try to do that all day. Any throws that were downfield were sideline throws. There was almost nothing over the middle.
Yep.
It was sad to watch because, again, and I watched the Pat McAfee show earlier. I texted James about this earlier. They were talking Pat McAfee was sharing a very similar feeling that I share, that it almost felt like everyone was blaming Big Ben. You know, Big Ben's arm, it's his arm that's not allowing us to go deep downfield. It's this or that. It's him not being able to pass is what's stopping the run game. We don't have a reliable passing game to back people off. It happened with Mitchell Trubisky in there. You can't say that Mitchell Trubisky shouldn't be playing at a higher level than what Ben was last year when he retired. You can't tell me that. Like, so I don't know if it's Canada's offense. I don't know if they just didn't game plan well for this game. I don't know if maybe they just wanted to come out and play, for lack of a better word, scared for the first game. I don't know. What do you got?
And I feel like part of this too might just be a knee-jerk reaction from last year, knowing that Logan Wilson picked us off a bunch of times last year, right? So he's in the middle of the field. You got Jesse Bates, a Pro Bowler, in the middle of the field. And then the other safety is no slouch himself. So I wonder if part of this was maybe game planning of stay away from the middle of the field because they got three guys that can turn the ball over in the middle of the field.
I feel like I agree with that to a degree. I feel like you can't abandon the middle of the field for the entirety of a football game because you're that scared.
I agree.
But I feel horrible. Like
part of it might have actually just been fear of those players.
Wow. I mean, I understand the mentality behind that. But as a previous football player myself in high school, nothing to go home about, nothing to go crazy about there. Even game planning in high school stuff, you say, okay, the other team's good at this, so we're not going to do it as much. Like, you can't completely abandon something that is part of the game. That's like saying, hey, this team is that's like saying last year, we were the 32nd or 31st, I think 32nd, ranked running game. That doesn't mean you don't run the ball. You can't, like, not do it, but we probably shouldn't have done it as much as we tried to. But I don't know. It just blew my mind. Again, let's go through these numbers real quick. We talked about Gentry, Johnson, and Freiermuth. Chase Claypool had 4 receptions for 18 yards. Najee Harris had 2 receptions for 3 yards, and one was that 2-yard touchdown pass. That was, nothing crazy impressive with that. It was a good play. It worked, I guess. And then George Pickens, the guy that's supposed to blow up, 1 catch for 3 yards. What are we doing with this talented team? This is, in my opinion, James, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is worse so far, in my opinion. I realize it's one game versus a couple of years.
Oh, no. Here comes the doom and gloom.
Not doom and gloom.
Turn off your podcast machines. Cody's calling it a season.
No, not at all. But there is potential for this, in my opinion, to be a bigger waste of a football team than it was when we had the Killer Bees.
I think that this wide receiver trio could go down as one of the better wide receiver trios that Pittsburgh has had, and it'll be a dang shame if they don't start throwing a ball to them down the field specifically.
Well, and then you look at the tight end group.
Would have even been okay with a couple of wide receiver screens, and we didn't get them. Nope. Like, Gunnar Olszewski was on the field and used as a blocker every time.
I would have hated it, but it would have been better than what we did.
And maybe part of this is building up to future game planning, where you're going to incorporate some things off of these plays, whatever.
What is preseason for? Oh, but man.
how many times did we see Gunnar Olszewski on the field as a wide receiver yesterday and then just exclusively used as a blocker?
Yep.
And not a good one.
Yeah, it's not his forte. And then there was a run play early in the game where the run comes to the right-hand side. Chase Claypool is the only receiver down there, and he never even puts a finger on his DB. Early in the game, too. Early. Like, doesn't even try to block the corner. Just stands there, turns around, and watches as four or five guys tackle Najee. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's back.
Yeah.
I watched him do this half the year last year, just never block people on run plays. And he's doing it again already, just not blocking at all.
I miss seeing, I wish I would have realized what I was, I'm growing up through football right now. And I wish I would have realized back in the day when I saw Pittsburgh put up 17, 21 points in a quarter, that I was watching some exciting football, because I don't know when I'm going to get that again. Like, it's just wild to me that we can't, the team is so talented and everyone has us as the underdogs. And I get that because of our offensive line. I 100% understand that. But at the same time, there is game planning that you can do with a bat. We saw Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs do it with a bad offensive line and led themselves to a Super Bowl. We saw same thing last year with Joe Burrow. That offensive line was trash, but you know what? They game planned for it. They made it work last year. They made it to a, you can make it to a Super Bowl with a subpar offensive line if you game plan correctly. So I just am hopeful to see something else happen here. I don't have anything else to talk about on the offensive side of the ball. As far as specialists go, offensive line is Dan Moore got bullied again. We saw that.
I saw Dan get beat a couple of times, but nowhere near as bad as I felt like at the beginning of a couple of the preseason
games. That's fair.
The first and second preseason game, I felt like Dan Moore was awful in the first quarters. And at no point in time during this game did I say, wow, Dan's just getting beat play after play after play. I didn't see it this game. A couple times, yes. But consistently throughout the game, no. So I do feel like Dan played a little bit better than he was playing during the preseason. I do remember a goal line run where we tried to run up the middle and a Okorafor got pushed back pretty badly. So he's got to work on that pad level and get lower, because this guy got underneath him and drove him right back and just nobody won. And that's a problem. You got to have somebody on that offensive line that gets into the pads of a defensive lineman and drives him back. And when everybody is either stood up in a standstill or an even match, and the only significance is that somebody gets driven back and no one drives their guy forward, you got to work on that, man. We got to work on getting lower and being more powerful in the run game.
Yeah. I also think that we need to start utilizing blocking schemes better. Cutback blocks.
I just want to see more double teams.
I just want to see us utilize the players
team and move off of it.
Yes. Utilize the players that are actually good at blocking or that can surprise block. Put a running back in motion or put a wide receiver in motion like Chase Claypool or George Pickens. Chase Claypool because of his size, George Pickens because of his tenacity and his actual willingness to block, and run behind him. Even Jalen Warren, I think one time yesterday we saw doing some blocks for Chase Claypool and he was throwing guys down. I don't care.
They used him as a lead blocker in that a bunch of times and he was effective doing so. Yeah. Kid's a good blocker.
It's the same thing that the Browns started doing yesterday. They put Chubb and Hunt in there at the same time and let one of them block. I think Chubb was doing most of the blocking because that makes sense. But again, you got to start thinking outside the box. I feel like Pittsburgh has had a vanilla, boring, basic offense for the last 4 or 5 years. And it's been really hard to, the last 3 minimum. And it's been really hard to watch as a fan and really hard to get excited about or have any faith in a team. And you know what? Outside of the world of sports, it doesn't matter if I have faith in the Steelers. Like, realistically, it doesn't matter. It's just a football game. But like, as a diehard fan and someone who wants to watch and get excited about your team, it blows my mind that they haven't gotten something fixed yet. Anything.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's been the same issues over and over and over again. Different offensive coordinators. The past three, I feel like they've all been bad. And I'm not trying
to say...
And offensive line coaches.
Doesn't seem like the offensive line coaches are making a big difference. And like you're talking about with the play calling from yesterday. So we finally see a flea flicker and it works, right? We see a trick play and it works and it's effective. And it's a 31 yard gain down to Pat Freiermuth, right? We see a tight end screen to the number two tight end. This is not a normal play for Pittsburgh. Nope. And it works. And they gained 32 yards on it. We need more of that stuff, guys. We need more creativity. We need more of these off-the-wall plays to stretch them out a little bit, get them to back away from the offensive line so you can start hitting some more of those, you know, 5 to 9 yard pass plays over the middle. If you don't have anything that stretches the field and you're going deep on 3rd and 5 instead of throwing 7 or 8 yard passes, and instead you're going, you know, 40 yards downfield to Miles Boykin, your number 5 wide receiver. Like, come on, man. That's got to be a ball we're throwing to George Pickens or Chase Claypool, not to Miles Boykin. Why was he even on the field?
I don't know. That one blew my mind. Because quite frankly, you have the talent on the team that Miles Boykin shouldn't be out there. Like,
yeah.
How many other guys? 5, right? 5 other guys other than him? No, there was only 4.
5 other guys, but only 4 of them dressed other than him.
I don't understand how that play call gets called when he's in that position. It just doesn't make sense to me. And maybe that was part of it. Maybe that was part of it. Maybe those will catch him off guard. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. It didn't work. Like, start trying to make plays with the guys you brought in there to make plays. And if you can't do that, someone needs to be fired. That's where I'm at this point already.
Let's switch to defense, Cody, because this was a win, and you would think right now that it wasn't based off of the way we're talking about this. So let's start talking about the defense so we can get excited again about this game. First off, let me start somewhere where no one would probably expect us to start, but with Alex Highsmith. You teased this at the beginning.
I did.
The leader in the NFL in sacks right now. Nobody else got more than 3 yesterday, right?
Nope.
So here we are, Alex Highsmith with 3 sacks in this game, going against probably their best offensive lineman in Jonah Williams, right? Yep. This is a first-round left tackle. Expected to be a shutdown dude over there, and Alex Highsmith beat him up
badly. And here's the thing: just
kept on getting in there.
And everyone's talking about how, you know, well, a lot of his, and I won't say they're wrong. A lot of his, you know, productivity came from TJ Watt getting double teamed. Sure, part of it, but don't misunderstand the situation. Alex Highsmith is developing into a phenomenal pass rusher. And that's not to take anything away from TJ. We all know, TJ Watt is TJ Watt.
He's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, even with Cam Hayward in there and Tyson Alualu and Chris Wormley, these guys are providing solid depth and solid pat. And I shouldn't even say depth for the two of them, Tyson Alualu and Cam Hayward being the starters. They're applying constant pressure. They're getting to the backfield. I'm surprised they gave Highsmith 3. I thought they were going to give him 2.5.
Yeah, so did I.
But, I mean, he'd still be leading the NFL, whatever.
Yeah.
But super impressed and super excited because Alex Highsmith is developing quite well. I feel like his jump from year 1 to year 2 was a pretty decent jump, and now year 2 to year 3, correct? This is his third year?
Yes. Yeah,
this phenomenal. He already has 3. I mean, what's his career high? 8 or 9?
7 last year. I think it was 7.5
sacks. He's almost halfway there.
Yeah, in one game.
One game.
We got 16 more to go, buddy.
And he plays them again. And he's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for Alex Highsmith and his development for sure.
And we need that right now, right? Because, I 100%. Mean, the elephant in the room, TJ Watt had a tremendous game, but near the end of the game, injured a pectoral muscle. We're still, at this point, it's 4:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We don't know for a fact what the injury is, the extent of the injury. It seems that, this point, there's some optimism in Pittsburgh, according to a few reporters, that this might be rehabbable. This might not be a season-ending pectoral tear, because there's different degrees of it, right? If it's just a grade 1, this is something that with rehab, you could be back in 4 to 6 weeks. This is something that he could be back in a month, month and a half, possibly, if it's not a severe tear. Now, if it's the kind of like grade three tear where you got muscle pulling off of the bone and needs surgery, it's going to need several months to heal. And then the best case scenario is possibly at the end of the year. Maybe if there's a playoff run, you might be able to get him back at that stage. The only thing going for him is that it was week one, right? So even with surgery, there's a possibility we could see him at the end of the year. But if it is surgery required, expect him to be out at least probably 3 months. Not really any way getting back any quicker than that. But there's some optimism right now. And, man, what a game from TJ, right? Three tackles for loss. The one he blew up the running back the second he got the ball handed
off.
That
looked like a Jadeveon Clowney hit from college when he knocked the guy's helmet off.
Yes, it did. Just absolutely phenomenal hit there. He had the sack in typical TJ fashion.
Yep.
Almost had another one on the play that he injured his pectoral. And then let's talk about the interception. Are you kidding me?
Two pass breakups and the interception. He could have had two interceptions in this game. The one pass breakup was very close to being a pick. TJ Watt, again, this is widely unfortunate for him. For the fact that he has this injury, because he was already starting hot on pace to make another defensive player of the year run.
Aaron Donald doesn't get that interception. I guarantee you that.
No, Aaron Donald doesn't jump up to hit that ball. He just does this. He doesn't jump. Mm-hmm. He just puts his hand up.
Not to mention he doesn't get the TFLs either, because if it's not a pass play, he's not interested like that.
Yep. Yeah, you are correct. So again, I don't know. I feel horrible for TJ Watt. The defensive front as a whole was phenomenal. They had, again, seven sacks. The sacks coming from Cam Hayward had one. TJ Watt had one. Arthur Maulette had one. That was great to see. Mike Hilton, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, wait, just kidding. Mike Hilton's on the other side. Robert Spillane had one. And then, obviously, Alex Highsmith with the three. Just phenomenal gameplay from all around. I mean, you had sacks on all levels of the defensive side of the ball there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you like to see, especially in a game like this where it comes down to the wire. You got to have different people getting involved and making plays. So,
and the Bengals are really putting a lot of stock in the rookie left guard, Cordell Volson, and Cam Hayward just bullied him all game long, man. He was driving him into the backfield time after time after time. So I guarantee you Cam's licking his chops at whatever the date is of the next matchup against the Bengals, knowing he gets to play against that guy again, which is just going to force them to shade the center over to help him more, which is going to give one-on-one opportunities for Larry Ogunjobi, Tyson Alualu, everybody else that plays opposite Cam in those situations.
Yep.
So that's, and honestly, that's going to also force them to not be able to help out on Highsmith.
Yep.
So Alex is still going to get those one-on-ones out there because he can't send a guard out there because Cam's bullying the guard. So what are you going to do? Put an extra offensive tackle on that side? They might have to.
They might have to. It's been done before.
they might have to pull Hayden Hurst out of pass situations and have them go over there and help out.
I don't know. This is just the Bengals offense is checking in.
Thanks for checking in. I'm still a piece of garbage.
They're still trash.
I'll tell you what, one of the things we talked about pregame, right? We were talking about our keys to success. We mentioned that Pittsburgh absolutely had to stop the run game. Had to stop the run game, right? They were atrocious at stopping the run game last time. So what did we see this time? Joe Mixon on the game, 27 carries for 82 yards. And he had a 31-yard carry in there. So if you take that out, he only had 2 yards. Yeah. Yeah.
I was so mad.
That works, unfortunately. So either you stuff it or you give up a big play. But let's talk about that, though, because including that 31-yard run, he only averaged 3 yards a carry. You take it out, he was under 2 yards a carry. What a tremendous difference from this Steelers defense in stopping the run. They did an excellent job, and everybody got involved on it.
I agree.
Everyone did.
I agree. Now, again, this was a probably bottom half of the league offensive line. I want to see what happens when we go up against a better offensive line or a potential better running back. You know, when you look ahead to the Steelers' schedule this year, next week we obviously have the Patriots. I'm not worried about their run game. I'm more worried about trick plays with them, quite honestly. The Browns could potentially be a testament to the run game. The Bills,
they're a very good run blocking unit.
The Bills could potentially do that unless they just decide to throw all over us. They have that capability. And then later on in the year, the teams that are going to intrigue me the most, the Colts specifically, more because of Jonathan Taylor than anything else. And then you also have to think Panthers later on in the year, if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy. Those are the few teams that running game specifically intrigues me moving forward, which actually isn't bad. That's not horrible. We don't play a bunch of crazy run heavy teams this year, minus obviously Baltimore twice, but I don't even want to talk about
it. Yeah. And Baltimore is going to do that, right? We all know that Baltimore is going to run the ball way more than they pass. And that's just because they're not good passing. Yep. Probably why Lamar didn't get the big contract extension, because his passing numbers not that good and haven't been for a while.
He did show up in yesterday's game. I will give him that. He had some good plays.
He had some good plays, but again, look at his passing numbers.
I know. I know.
He's like a 53% completion guy. That doesn't cut it in the NFL, man. You start going against good teams, that gets exposed.
I'm gonna say something right now before we get too far in, I forget. And James, yeah, if you have anything you want to say to this or add on to this again, this is gonna be my overexcited prediction.
Overreaction,
okay. Overexcited prediction, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I think Pittsburgh's going to have another game with 4 interceptions this year.
I like it.
And I don't think, I'm not just saying that because we play the Bengals again. I think we're going to have another game with 4 interceptions this year.
I think what people found out is that this bad Steelers secondary that everybody was talking about is actually a pretty decent Steelers secondary. When Joe Burrow gets the opportunity to throw 53 times against you, and you only let up 338 yards and you pick them off 4 times, technically 5. One of them got called back on the iffy pass interference penalty.
Technically 6. One of them was technically a fumble.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. They terrorized him with pressure and then on the back end made a bunch of really nice plays and picked him off 4 times officially.
Yep. And I think
you can't tell me that they won't do that to lesser quarterbacks, because Joe Burrow is supposed to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, right? He's a top 10 quarterback, according to most folks. Well, some would probably even put him higher than top 10.
Let's take a look here. I think moving forward, we're going to play the Browns twice this year, once with Jacoby Brissett, which should be an easy game. Don't get me wrong, Jacoby is an underrated quarterback. If it wasn't for Cam Hayward pushing Quentin Nelson back onto his leg and breaking his leg or whatever happened that one year when he played for the Colts, Jacoby Brissett's career would be totally different at this point. And then we play the Jets, who started Joe Flacco. We already know how that goes when we play him. We'll play Josh Allen and Tom Brady back to back. Those games probably won't be too impressive defensive stat wise. We play Tua. I'm not super concerned, minus Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm more concerned about the speed than the actual accuracy of the quarterback. And then we play Jalen Hurts, another mobile quarterback. We play Jameis Winston for the Saints. And then Joe Burrow again. We'll play
not mobile.
Not mobile. We'll play Matt Ryan with the Colts.
Not mobile. He's a statue.
Who the heck is the Falcons court? Marcus Mariota.
He's mobile, but
yeah, but we do
not great. Not the greatest passer.
Yeah. And then we play Lamar twice, and then we go up against Baker Mayfield. We already know how that goes.
We also know how it goes against Lamar Jackson. We usually sack the living crap out of him.
We do. And then we play the only other team that I'm really scared of, quite frankly, passing-wise, is Derek Carr with Devontae Adams and Darren Waller and the Hunter Renfro. The crew he has there in Las Vegas is actually pretty decent. So
yeah, and they were not firing on all 4 cylinders yesterday.
No, but they were still playing fairly well.
Yeah, it took a late rally for them to get in that game because they were getting their butts kicked most of the game.
Yeah. So again, Pittsburgh's defense, the secondary specifically, has a chance to make some splashes this year. And don't forget, a lot of the time when you talked about it, we were tormenting Joe Burrow and that offensive line. A lot of the times when you see teams with high defensive turnover rates, especially in the passing game, that's a factor from applying pressure on the quarterback. It's not always that your secondary is really good. It's that your defense is just making plays happen. So and that's the benefit, is our secondary can actually catch the ball. I remember back in the day, we had a couple guys that just couldn't catch to save their life. So
yeah,
it's good to have these guys that can make catches. I mean, Cam Sutton had a very impressive catch where he undercut the guy on the route and made a play.
And then his other interception, I thought, was an excellent interception. Again, there was some contact before, but the following drive, Pat Freiermuth was absolutely mugged. The defender, Von Bell, just never stopped holding him from the line of scrimmage, and they didn't call that.
Yep.
So not calling it the same way both ways. And then Cam almost got another interception later on in the game when a ball was thrown over his head. He drops off of his guy, backs up, and tips it, jumped up, almost had it. So he almost had three picks in this game.
Yeah, that would have been
legitimate. Yeah, legitimately had two and one.
We could have picked
him
off like seven or eight times. We could have.
Yeah.
I think they would have benched him at that point. Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe not.
I don't even know who the backup is, man.
Neither do I. but again,
the world might know on the next game.
They might. But again, the defense played fairly well. I wasn't super impressed with Devin Bush. But
I thought
not,
he was better than preseason.
I'll give you that. And I guess I shouldn't say that I wasn't impressed by him. It's that I didn't see him, which actually could have been a good thing. we've talked about that multiple times. When you don't see somebody, you don't bring up their name, it's normally a good thing, or it can be a good thing.
He did have one big defensive stop. I do remember that.
Was that the goal line one?
Past that. What's that?
Was that the goal line one?
I think it might have been. I know I tweeted it out, so I can find it if you talk for a minute and give me a chance to find it.
No, that's fine. I can talk about the other guys. I thought the guys that we brought in, Malik Reed and even Larry Ogunjobi, both Malik Reed not blowing up the stats. He only had one tackle, and it was an assisted tackle. But these guys came in, and they didn't – the big thing with these guys coming in off the bench is they didn't give up the big plays. They didn't allow our starters to get a rest and then allow something really bad to happen that our starters had to be rushed back in to make sure nothing bad happened or nothing crazy happened. The guys that we picked up did not – Jahmyr Jones as well, DeMarvin Leal, these guys that got playing time didn't give up big plays, which was very, very exciting and very happy for me to see. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have when it was in the game, just that it was a tackle for loss and an important part of the game.
That's fine.
So he at least had that. He had five tackles all around. DeMarvin Leal, I saw some really nice pressure out of him early in the game. He didn't get a ton of playing time, but he did make the most of his opportunities when he was out there. So that was nice to see. Also, a really nice tackle for loss from Montrevious Adams on a run play.
Yep.
They tried to run up the middle. He beat his offensive lineman and just like steamrolled the running back. Love to see it, especially when there's a possibility he might be your starting nose tackle next year. So some real optimism from me, seeing some nice plays out of both DeMarvin Leal and Montrevious Adams when thinking about future generations of the defensive line. But a dominant performance from Cameron Hayward, just really was all over. Had that fumble recovery, technically it was almost an interception, batted in the air. So incredible performance there. Nice game out of Miles Jack too, right? 10 tackles on the game.
Yep.
Really was making plays all over the place. And anytime the defense does that well against the run, your middle linebackers had to have had a decent game. And that seemed to be true. Real rotation. I was surprised by the rotation and how much Robert Spillane played. There were dime situations where Spillane was the only middle linebacker out there. Really kind of caught me off guard, being that Devin Bush and Miles Jack so much more athletic than him. But you know, Spillane brought the thunder when he could. So nice to see out of that. Just back to Minka, you know, what a game from him. Holy cow. Just, you could tell he was still mad at all these guys from the comments last year, just hitting everybody as hard as he could every single time.
I just
even bullying around Joe Mixon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just hope that moves forward. I hope he realized, I hope that anger and that play style gets adopted in his natural gameplay now. I hope that this was an eye opening game for him to be like, I'm an all pro bowl safety. I can play like this every single game. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone has off games and games that they're just not there. But I think this is more of a peak for him, in the sense of, I think he can play closer to this than he has in the past. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Minka's been bad really ever. He's made a couple bad plays, bad, you know, pursuit lines to players in the past. I remember that a lot last year where him and Terrell Edmonds both were having bad pursuit lines. But this is a game that Minka Fitzpatrick, quite frankly, literally just took over. And I want to see more of it moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He was so incredible. The only thing I want to see different from him this week, this upcoming week, is not such a huge emphasis on the monster hit, because a couple of them got him penalized.
Yep.
And, they, you know, questionable as to whether or not.
Yeah.
And it's the look.
I know.
It's the look. They get scared. You know, they really want their Bengals to be really good, these referees. It was pretty obvious in the game when you got five penalties that they got a first down for the Bengals and only one for the Steelers. And near the end of the game, it kept on being, you know, whatever penalty they could throw that would give an automatic first down was what was getting thrown, whether it be defensive holding or pass interference or whatever, it was getting thrown. And it was just, you could tell it was coming every time.
Yep.
They extended so many drives and plays for them, it wasn't even funny. But it's the look. Yeah, it's in a few of them, he hit with his shoulder, but it was close enough that, you know, they could get away with throwing a flag, because, man, oh, I can't believe how hard he hit him. It's got to be a penalty, right? So you just, some of that stuff when the ball is already gone and you don't have to hit him, don't do it, because we want to make him punt.
Yes, we do. All those mental errors. Let's take and a time.
You don't want them getting suspended from it either.
No, know? Not at all. Moving on to special teams, Gunnar Olszewski, literally not really involved in the kickoff game. He had it, the stat line shows one kick return for 1 yard. I don't even remember seeing that unless it was a squib kick. Oh, it was the squib kick. That's what that was.
Kick at the end of the game,
yeah. And then Presley Harvin, 8 punts for 48.5 average. One was inside the 20. Presley Harvin didn't do horrible, I thought. I feel like he could have done
nice
better.
Game.
Yeah.
Nice game from him, I thought. You know, that one, he pinned him at the 9-yard line on a diagonal punt out of bounds, so they couldn't return it. In Gunner, you know, he got one opportunity to return a punt and he brought it back 20 yards. That's great, man.
Yep.
And it's not his fault on the rest. Their kicker's just got a really strong leg. He kept on kicking it out of the back of the end zone every time.
Yep. So. Like Justin Reed, the safety for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Right. You got that strong of a leg. Okay. Impressive.
Yeah. And then Chris Boswell, 3 of 4 on the field goals. Again, the one miss that would have potentially ended the game earlier.
But yeah,
that's okay. It was what it was. Long snapper Christian Kuntz, MVP. mostly
long snapper in the game, right?
Mostly because they didn't have one late in the game, and that's really what caused them to miss two game-winning field goals. Well, one game-winning extra point, technically. And then two game-winning field goals. Or one game-winning field goal, excuse me.
We didn't even talk about Minka blocking that extra point at the end of regulation. That's how it went into overtime.
Yep.
You know,
huge.
And here's it. Here's a neat little tidbit on that I heard today. So the backup long snapper was their tight end, right? That tight end typically plays the left wing on the field goal protection unit.
Ooh.
So that came from where he would normally be lined up, but they moved the guy from the right to the left. He's out there playing a little bit out of position. So not only do you have a snapper that's not snapping it back as accurately or as fast as the regular one, now you got a different guy out there blocking, and he's the one that let Minka through. So the puzzle pieces and how important it is, you know, and Pittsburgh always seems to put a real big emphasis on these back of the roster guys, and, you know, guys like Marcus Allen, they get $2.5 million basically to be a personal protector of the punter. That can be really important sometimes. Those back of the roster key special teams guys like your Miles Boykin, who as a receiver really isn't much, but when you talk about as a gunner, they only had like one punt return the entire game because James Pierre and Miles Boykin were getting down there and forcing fair catches all game long.
Yep. Or Miles Boykin was getting there.
We punted a lot.
Yep.
Right? We punted a lot.
Eight times.
They could not return it. They couldn't return the dang ball because of how well Miles Boykin and James Pierre did getting down there. So these back of the roster guys, it is really important when we talk about long snappers matter too. And, you know, it's kind of an ongoing joke and we joke around about it. We laugh about it. We have a good time about it. Well, gosh darn it, man, a long snapper made the difference in the game in this game.
You are correct, James. You are absolutely correct. Long snappers matter. We're going to kind of end it there as far as talking about the game. Let's talk injuries afterwards. We already talked about TJ's pec. We're still waiting for sure news on there, whether he's going to need surgery right away or surgery after the season. I expect him to miss the next 3 or 4 games minimum. Just because, and honestly, 5 or 6 if we're winning. Like, don't rush him back for anything. Yeah. I understand he wants to have a good season. I understand the stats, this and that. That could be a career changing injury if it gets re-injured or if it's anything worse than what it already is. Najee's foot injury, we talked about that a little bit. Robert Spillane had an eye injury on the game. I don't remember seeing that, but apparently minor injury.
I did. The trainers were looking at him, and I thought, honestly, it might have just been somebody gouged him and took his contact out. It sounds as though it wasn't a significant injury, so they're expecting him to be just fine for this upcoming week.
Yeah, same thing with Levi Wallace. He had an ankle injury, went out early in the – or semi-early. I think it was second quarter.
I want to say maybe third quarter-ish. Because then you started seeing Arthur Maulet a lot, and then Maulet got that sack at the end of the game to
–
kind of seal it for them.
Did Levi Wallace come back in? I thought I saw him again. No. But okay, he didn't.
He didn't come back in.
And then Alex Highsmith and Mason Cole both got injured during the game, both returned during the game. Mason Cole was the more concerning one at the moment, because when Alex Highsmith got hurt, TJ Watt was still in there, so it wasn't as big of a deal. But obviously both those guys are pivotal in what we're doing moving forward. So happy both those guys came back.
Absolutely, man. So it's kind of refreshing that most of these seem to be minor. The Najee one, I'm a little bit more concerned about, because there is some concern that he re-injured the Liz Frank injury from earlier in the season. If that is true, even though they're trying to say that it's minor, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses 3 or 4 weeks either, just because you can't rush that back.
Nope.
And that's why I think that Mark Robinson will be active in this upcoming game, because if this happens, and I fully expect Najee to miss at least a week or two with the injury, Jalen Warren's going to be your starting running back. If Jalen Warren's your starting running back, he is not playing on special teams. So now you need another guy on special teams. Mark Robinson's the perfect fill-in for that.
100%.
So just go ahead and plug him right in wherever Jalen Warren was at. Let Jalen Warren run the ball, and let's have some fun with this, man. Maybe Anthony McFarland gets called up.
Maybe he does. All right, real quick. Some important information around the league real quick. Buffalo obviously took down the defending Super Bowl champions, the Los Angeles Rams, in a very good showing for the Buffalo Bills. I think Buffalo is the team to beat right now in the AFC, even though Kansas City is still dominant. Division-wise, Baltimore did beat the Jets. And Cleveland did beat Carolina. So in the division, 3 teams are 1-0, and the Bengals being the only team 0-1 because they lost to us. funny. And then also with that being said, last night on Sunday Night Football, Dak Prescott went down with an injury to his throwing thumb, which more than likely will require surgery, is what I read, I believe, from Jerry Jones. So that brings up the question, do they want to trade for a quarterback? Mason Rudolph.
I think we got a guy that would look good in that Dallas Cowboy uniform. He's used to that kind of cowboy action from college.
The only thing that would be funny about that, James, the only thing that would be funny about that is the fact that I'm in Texas now.
And where did Dwayne or James Washington end up? Didn't he end up down there?
James Washington is in Dallas.
So let's send Mason, get the college kids back together again. Doesn't seem like they even like each other that much, but let's make it happen.
Whatever.
And hey, man, you give us a high enough pick, he's all yours, Dallas. So let's go. I'd love to see it. This is the kind of thing that honestly really could stir up a little bit of interest, command a little bit higher price for a guy that's not a bad quarterback in Mason Rudolph. Not elite. He's not going to win you a ton of games, but you know, he might win you more than he loses. He's got a habit of doing that. So we'll see what happens from that. Patriots are our next team, but we're going to be talking about them later on this week. Big game. They just got their butts kicked by the Dolphins. So
yeah,
they could be angry, or they could just not be that good. We're going to find out.
Yeah, I will say this, though. The rumor has been circulating the league that Dallas may have interest in trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. That would obviously be a better trade than Mason.
Probably.
Yeah. But we hope you go for Mason instead. Now, at this point, I don't think that the 49ers should be committed to Trey Lance again. Yesterday's game in the rain was wild for them, to say the least, against the Chicago Bears. But either way, Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo saga shall continue. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell on YouTube. It's free. We want to get this family growing. We've been watching Facebook numbers grow tremendously and immensely and quickly. And we thank you guys so much. Make sure you guys share the YouTube videos, share the posts on Facebook. We appreciate everything you guys do. And let us know what you think maybe moving forward. Is Pittsburgh's offense the problem? Is the defense the real deal? Or did the Bengals just suck that bad? Let us know. So again, thank you so much. We will see. This is James and Cody signing off.
Peace.